Let's go back to Pittsburgh, PNC Field, and bring in Hank Schulman, Henry Schulman of the Chronicle. Henry, good morning.
Good morning to you, Maury.
Yeah, glad to have you with us today. Now, I understand in Pittsburgh there's a very special convention going on of people who like to dress in furry costumes. Is that it?
Yeah, and they make fun of us in San Francisco for our festivals. Yeah, they're called furry people, and they like to go around the country dressing in these animal costumes, and they're so brilliant. They do it in the middle of July or June and July in a town that's hot and humid. And Dan Brown, my friend who works for the Mercury News, said that he saw one of them who took his head off, and inside the human inside that animal costume looked like he was about to die. So I haven't seen any furries yet, but I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, very much. Take a picture. Definitely put it on the internet if you do. Hey, last night, of course, the Giants win their fourth game in a row, and I said it. Boy, Henry, they dug a deep hole for themselves. You know, the rest of the season is going to be interesting. We'll talk about the focus of it, but boy, they dug a deep hole for themselves. It's really unfortunate that it's going to be impossible to get out of it.
Yeah, you know, it is, and I think that fans have to take the season for what it is, the rest of the season for what it is, which is going to be, you know, just trying to play good baseball. Management using the last 3 months to sort of evaluate which way they want to go. I mean, first off, ahead of the trade deadline, every day the Giants are on the field is another day of evaluation for decision making on who they want to keep, who they might want to part with, what their strategy is going forward for next year. And, you know, I was counting. There are seven rookies in that room right now. And I'm having the Giants check for me. I can't remember the last time the Giants have had seven rookies in their room, not in September when they expand the rosters. And so they're looking at a lot of youth. There may be more youth who comes up. Austin Slater really has been a revelation since he came up. He started both big rallies yesterday with singles, one of them with two outs and nobody on. Ryder Jones finally got his first hit. You know, Jay Wong, he's also considered a rookie, although he's 29 years old, had a home run the other night, and so on and so forth. So if the fans look at it that way, look at it as just trying to, you know, watch the Giants have fun, play ball, win games, and realize that everything that's happening on the field is sort of a first step toward 2018, you don't have to look at the record or the standings.
No. You know, the interesting thing is, I was mentioning Mitch Jurisich was here from Hooked on Golf before I started this morning, and there's an enthusiasm for a team that's 31-51. If you had all veterans and, you know, you're sort of mired in that spot, you could lack a lot of enthusiasm. But what you just said, I said to Mitch, and that is there are a lot of rookies in that dugout who are doing things for the first time that have energized, I think, that have energized the team. And I think the fact that there are so many rookies up here has helped the situation.
Yeah, and I think you go back to 2008, 2009, and that was right, the Bonds era was over. And, I mean, there wasn't a lot of enthusiasm during the Bonds years on the team because they knew they weren't going to win. They had figured out that really everything with the Giants was all about, you know, getting people in the seats to watch Bonds. And then, you know, you started to see younger guys come up. I think it started with, it really started with Tim Lincecum in 2007. You know, Kane was still a young guy. Then they slowly brought Pablo Sandoval into the picture in 2008, Buster in 2009. And you could start to see sort of the formation of what management had been talking about this, you know, movement toward winning. I sense that we're sort of in that time right now. I mean, the obvious difference is that the fans now you've been used to winning championships and making the playoffs. So, you know, there are a lot of bandwagon fans who are just miserable right now because they've never known what it's like to have a season like this. But it can actually it can bring the fans into the fold in a different way, not worrying about October. But seeing what kids can do. And, you know, I think the Giants having a lack of outfielders, for example, you know, even slowly, you know, kind of like slumping a little bit and bringing some position players and pitchers up from the majors. Now they're finally seeing some fruits of that, the development effort. And I do think the fans want to see that.
Yeah, I think it's enthusiastic. I think Chris Shaw is going to be the next one. He's very hot at Sacramento right now. But Henry Schulman with us at the Chronicle. Henry, Denard Span, and I said this a few weeks ago, I said, you know, that he's quietly making a market for himself if the Giants wanted to do something, you know, as a guy off the bench or a fourth outfielder for a team, maybe not as a center fielder. But he had one of the best months, and last night, Henry, the guy was just on fire. One of the best months that anyone's ever had as a Giant hitting-wise.
Yeah, and, you know, it's health. When he came to the Giants last year when they signed him to that $33 million contract, $31 million contract, whatever it was, you know, he was coming off hip surgery, and he really didn't let it go till the second half of the season. And if you look at the numbers, Span had an excellent second half for the Giants. Then, you know, we kind of expected that to continue at the beginning of this season. And then he got hurt right off the bat. Second game of the season, he was on the disabled list. Then he crashed into the wall in Denver. And he even told me last night, you know, he finally feels completely healthy. And it's psychological. When you're healthy, you trust your body more to be aggressive. That's the way he put it to me. And you're right. He had, he had a 40-hit month. I mean, there are not too many times, like you said, in Giants history where a guy has had 40 hits. You have to go back to Melky Cabrera when he had 50 a couple years back when he was on the juice. And, you know, maybe Buster Posey. I haven't looked it up, but Buster Posey in that one July of 2010 when he just won player of the month and ran roughshod. And, he might be making a market for himself. But if the Giants are truly interested in contending next year, which they say they are, the question they have to ask themselves is, if they did, who would play center? Because they don't have another center fielder who is ready to come up and, take the reins. Steven Dugar is possibly the center fielder of the future, but he had a huge setback with a couple of injuries, and he is just now starting to play some rehab games. He hasn't even made it back up to AAA yet. So, you know, I mean, I think with all these players, if the right move is to be made, they'll make it, but they are keeping an eye on 2018. This is not going to be a rebuild for 2020.
Mm-hmm. Henry, I happen to notice this morning, I think Joe Rizzo of San Jose put it out there. Someone did that. Dugar went back on the DL yesterday, so he's back on the DL, so that's a setback for
him. Yeah, that's too bad, yeah.
Span is the notes. Liam Connolly, if you see him, tell me, did a great job in the notes today. But Span is the first Giants player to record at least 40 hits in the month of June since Moises Alou in 2005. So that's what he accomplished. The other one is Pence. You know, if you throw Pence pitches over the middle or breaking balls that don't get away from him, the guy puts the bat on the ball. What do you see in Pence now? And I guess this whole thing, Henry, April, May, you figure out who you are. June, you kind of fine-tune it. And now we're in July. And here's Pence and Span sort of, getting things together. What do you see in Pence?
This is a hard one. I mean, he's always been a little different a hitter, and you know that. So it's kind of hard to judge, what was going on with him. And he's had some health issues, too. With him, timing is just so important. Timing is critical. And seeing the ball, he gets into these jags where – he just doesn't see the off-speed pitch very well. And, he just swings over them. He can't really discern them, and it looks terrible. Those are the worst swings that he takes, and he looks completely lost at the plate. But more and more lately, I've seen him maybe lay off some of those pitches, and that's the sign. When he can lay off those pitches and their balls, then the pitchers have to come in. And, we saw last night that happened, that Gerrit Cole. He's in a bit of a funk anyway. This is a guy who he's aging as well, like Span, and he's got 1 year left on his contract. And I don't necessarily see a huge market for Pence down the road. But if they could create a situation next year where in the last year of his contract he could be sort of a fourth outfielder or maybe, sort of like a platoon guy with somebody next year, that's something that might work.
Well, interesting. Yeah, Pence had a great night last night. Panic did. They all hit the ball very well last night. Once you got into the middle of the Pirates' bullpen, boy, things really took off after that.
Yeah.
I tweeted out last night, and of course, if you follow Hank Schulman on Twitter, it's one of the best lines you're ever going to follow. Henry always has a lot of fun. But I tweeted out, I thought when Cueto needed to make a big pitch last night, to get out of trouble. The velocity off the bat was very low. So, in other words, he jammed people. When he had to make the big pitch, he put it in a great spot last night. That's what I saw.
You know, there aren't too many pitchers who would have that kind of trust from the manager. I mean, Bochy went out there and said, you know, he really with the idea of giving him one more hitter, and he ended up getting three. And he was really fighting it last night because I don't know if it was the heat or the humidity or whatever. He didn't feel it warming up in the bullpen, but it was just a weird night for Johnny. He was out there and just throwing a lot of junk early on, cutters, change-ups, things like that. He started to wonder if there was something wrong with his arm, and then later in the game, he pulled 92 miles an hour out of his back pocket. He realized that he just wasn't throwing his four-seam fastball. So when he needed to make a pitch, he needed to make it. Now, you know, Chris Stewart had been 2-for-2 against him already in the game, and he got a ground ball from him. You know, Bochy is still anachronistic in one way. He still believes in the pitcher win, which, you know, of course, has been discredited around baseball. But the one place it's not discredited is in the mind of the starting pitchers. They still view that as an important stat in judging themselves. They take pride in lasting those five innings and winning the game. And maybe sometimes to his detriment, Bochy will let a pitcher go try and get through five innings, especially one of his stars, even if he doesn't have it. And last night was one night where the pitcher actually rewarded Bochy for that faith.
Well, we're at that time of year. Pitchers are going to start to get tired. Giants see Chad Kuhl today, who's Mr. Five Innings. It doesn't seem to be able to get past the fifth inning for some reason. And then on the other side, it's Matt Moore. And, Henry, you talk about an enigma this year. You know, you and I spent the whole spring training together, and coming out of spring training, they looked okay. But here's Matt Moore, 3-8 or something like that, highest ERA in the National League, going against a Pittsburgh team that I think is vulnerable against lefties the way I see them play. But Matt Moore today, another start on the road for him, and who knows what's going to happen.
I mean, I don't know. You know, the pitcher I think of, the pitcher who comes to mind is Sean Estes, going back. Remember, he won 19 games in 97, and he was a little younger than Moore is now. But, you know, a guy with great stuff, but just every so often he would just sort of lose the ability to find the strike zone and lack command. And, you know, we're still talking about a guy, a left-handed pitcher, who throws 92, 93 miles an hour with a great curveball. You know, I think Moore, he kind of admitted last start, he is trying to change the way he pitches a little bit. He's gotten a little too reliant on the cutter. And I've heard a lot of pitching coaches talk about how the cutter, you know, it's kind of a lazy pitch for young pitchers to get into because, you know, maybe for older pitchers who need a trick or two, it's a good pitch. But it takes away from that four-seam fastball, which is the bread and butter, the straight, hard fastball where you can get really locate it where you want to. He thought he was getting a little too cutter happy, and now he's going back to the four-seamer a little bit. So maybe in, you know, this transition, you know, when you're changing the way you pitch, sometimes you really struggle and you're inconsistent. I mean, he was coming off a pretty good start. Then he had a pretty bad one. And, you know, it is a mystery. I mean, this is a guy that the Giants need to get right, especially for next year. I mean, this is a pitcher that, you know, is under contract for a very low number. If they choose to pick up his option for next year, which now is not a, you know, 100% guarantee the way he's pitched. So, again, he's one of those guys, Matt Moore, who is part of this evaluation process. Mm-hmm. And they need to see more of what they saw last year down the stretch from Matt Moore.
Yeah, a lot of evaluating going on, especially Pence and Span, the way they played. They've been on fire, Span especially. Henry Schulman with us. Henry, Bumgarner did pitch last night in Sacramento. I know John Shea was up there. What did you learn about Bumgarner last night?
Well, I mean, his command obviously wasn't where he needed it to be. He gave up four runs, but I mean, in these rehab starts, you're only looking for one thing. You're looking to be able to extend to a certain pitch count, and that's what it's about. They need to get him up to about 90 pitches or so in the minors before he can come back. And I think it's interesting. John Shea wrote about it in the San Francisco Chronicle today. You can see it online on our website, where you know John is speculating that instead of having five minor league rehab starts, he may only have three, and if he gets his you know, if he gets his command of his fastball and his slider down, he may, in the next two games, which will be at San Jose, you know, he may even be slotted into the rotation when the Giants start the second half in San Diego on July 15th. And I think that's a little bit ahead of what anyone had thought. We had heard 1st of August, maybe the last week of July. Now, I'm a little skeptical that they're going to do that because there's really no reason to rush him in a season where they're not going to win. But, you know, you'd like for him, you'd just like to see him get up to 90 pitches or so. And then in the very last rehab start, whenever that is, you'd like to see a little bit more refinement of the pitches so that, you know, he can be competitive.
Yeah, good start for him. San Jose is next up for Madison Bumgarner. Henry, third base, Ryder Jones, Jay Gin Wong. Wong, of course, the home run the other day. Ryder Jones first got his big hit last night. Nunez is in Richmond, I guess, rehabbing in Reading, Pennsylvania for a couple of days. How's this third base thing going to ever shake out?
Well, Wong's going to – I'm sorry. Brain's a little scrambled here.
Yeah.
Nunez is going to be the third baseman when he comes off the disabled list. He's going to be the third baseman. That's what Bochy has said. They need that to happen. I mean, he is the one guy on the roster that almost – I mean, he's probably number one on the list of guys you would want to trade right now if you're the Giants, because he's going to be a free agent at the end of the year. He's hit pretty well. They want to show that he's healthy. They want to show that he can go out there and play every day. I suspect that, I mean, I could be wrong about this. I usually am. I suspect that Jones will return to the minors when Nunez comes back to, you know, now that he's got his that first big league hit, and to play every day, because he still needs to play every day. You know, with Wong, maybe as a backup, a guy who can play third, he can play first. There could be times when the Giants put Nunez out in left field if need be, although they don't really seem to need to right now. And then Wong can play third base. But it's really, you know, they really are going to go with the older player there because, I mean, they need to showcase him. And, you know, he was one of their best hitters this season.
So you think Wong sticks around when Nunez comes back?
Yeah, you know, I do. I think that, I mean, they technically had a right to, they have a right to option him. He had this opt-out
right.
in his contract, which I believe was today.
Right, July 1st.
And, I mean, yeah, and I don't think they're going to disrespect him at all by, you know, bringing him up to the minors for 3 days, just to, 4 days, just to make sure that he doesn't opt out and then send him back down there. And I think I even read a quote from Bochy on a day that I was off where he said, you know, we're not, for a guy with his credentials, we're not going to do that. So there really would be no reason. I mean, Ryder Jones is more of the future as a possible everyday player. So that's a guy who needs to go down and play every day, I would think.
Boy, great having you on, Henry. Appreciate the time with you. One last thought for you. Is there any tension around Mark Melancon with this ball club and him and the Giants or teammates? Do you foresee or see anything to that?
Well, you know, I'm not in the clubhouse when they close the doors, but I have noticed that Melancon, I don't see a lot of interaction with the other relievers, but that doesn't necessarily mean that there's tension. Maybe at some point there was tension. I don't know. I mean, you look at a situation where you have a lot of inexperienced relievers, and they bring Melancon in, and they not only give him $60 million, but they also tell him, we want you to be the captain of the bullpen. And, you know, you could imagine in your own working life where, you know, you've been busting your tail for a certain company, and then they bring this star in from another company and say, well, you know, by the way, we're giving him a ton more than you're making, and he's going to kind of be your leader. And I mean, I think it's human nature that would create some tension. I know that there's probably some relievers in there who feel that, they really should have gotten maybe a shot to do that before the Giants went out to get a Melancon. Not that they earned that right with the way they pitched last year. Not that anything they've done this year has made it look like a dumb decision to bring Melancon. And I think that, you know what, winning cures everything. If they start winning and Melancon comes back healthy, he starts saving ball games. Everybody in the bullpen slots in behind them. You know what? That can solve a lot of problems.
Yeah, very much. Well, great answer. I agree with you. I never see a lot of interaction, but what does that mean? But I know he's on the DL now, so we'll see how it works out. Henry, thanks so much for being on. As always, a pleasure to talk with you. Follow at Hank Schulman on Twitter. Believe me, you will enjoy the day if you follow Henry during the ball game. Henry, have a good day. How's the weather today, by the way?
It's overcast and warm. I just looked at the forecast. It doesn't look like rain. I will give you a little piece of breaking news that popped into my inbox right when we were talking. Yoan Gregorio, who is one of the better pitching prospects at AAA, just got popped for steroid use, and he's done for the season.
Wow.
Yeah, so, yeah, and, I mean, he's a guy who really had some good numbers in the Pacific Coast League, and you started to think for a while that, you know, maybe he'd be up here before Beedy, but then he got hurt his back, and now he's done for the year. So, boy, that's a tough blow for a team to take, and you just wonder why these guys keep doing it.
Well, I'm very impressed with you, Henry, because I just looked on Twitter and you tweeted that 9 minutes ago when we were talking. So very good. I'm impressed.
Yeah, that would explain one of my dumber answers. I wasn't paying attention.
Very good. Well, let me know if you see any furry things. So, you know.
All right. I will.
Yeah. All right. Henry, have a great afternoon. Thank you so much for calling.
Okay. Bye-bye.
All right. That's Hank Schulman. Very funny. Hey, I just looked on Twitter and he had Yoan Gregorio's information 9 minutes ago while he was talking to us. Very good. Yeah, he did get a little, right? Didn't he get a little spacey at one point and said Wong instead of Ryder Jones? I think that's where he went off the rails a little bit. Very good report. Good report from Henry on what's going on with the Giants. Boy, a lot of stuff. They hit fastballs, mediocre fastballs for sure, and those balls were over the plate last night. But I think Denard Span is really going to be a story. That is going to be something. They're going to, if he continues hitting like that, a lot of things can happen with him. One, he could have a market, truthfully, and I still think, I said it